Take your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Hebrews. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 5 as we continue our verse-by-verse study of the book of Hebrews, understanding that this is written to the Hebrews. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, most of the book of Hebrews will work for you spiritually, but it will not all work for you doctrinally. You're not a Hebrew. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's all for you, but it's not all to you. There's some Jewish passages in here. After the church is already caught out, raptured out, the church is gone. It has to do with the tribulation, looking for the millennial reign of Christ. So this is written to the Hebrews with that in mind. With that in mind, this is a book that talks of better things. Jesus Christ was a better sacrifice,
yes.
A better hope, with better covenants. Everything was better than it was under the law.
Amen.
More glorious. Remember when Moses came down his face and said, more glorious is Jesus Christ. How much more glorious is Jesus Christ? So here it's talking about the priesthood of Christ, and if we could ever get a grip on our high priest and how available that he is to us, we'd start taking a lot of things to God that we never think about taking to God. The Bible says that we come boldly to the throne of grace. Therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, for you can find help in time of need. And our boldness and access is by the faith of him. It's his faithfulness. He's our high priest. We don't come in our own names. We come for Jesus' sake, for what he did. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for the saints. Here in verse 1, it says, for every high priest taken from among men. Here it's looking to that Old Testament priesthood. It says, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. That's that Old Testament priest. He had to offer also for himself. Jesus Christ didn't have to do that because he was without sin. We'll see where this priesthood changes from the Old Testament after the order of the Aaronic order is referred to. I don't think I pronounced that right. That Aaronic priesthood under the law. It changed with Jesus Christ. He was a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And we'll look at that later on. We won't look at that tonight. But it says, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with an infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight in Jesus' name, our high priest, Lord, and we're thankful, Lord, for his priesthood, Lord. We're thankful for that indwelling spirit that you've given us, that comforter, the guide that teaches us and interprets that scripture for us tonight, Lord. Help me, Father, fill my mouth with the right words tonight, Lord, and help me to do that is in your heart and on your mind, Lord. And we'll thank you and praise you for all you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so here in Hebrews 5, we see a contrast between the Old Testament priesthood after the order of Aaron and the priesthood of Christ after the order of Melchizedek. Now, the Old Testament priests were taken among men. They were sinners, and they had to offer sacrifices for themselves as well as the rest of the people. If you remember back in those days, they would put bells on the bottoms of the of the priest robes and put a rope around that high priest that's going into the holy of holies. If he happened to die along the way, they'd have to pull him out by that rope. And there was remembrance of sin from year to year. It said the blood of bulls and goats could not clear the guilty. But now Christ has entered once into the holy place, once for all. And he ever liveth. As long as he lives, we live. Ever liveth to make intercession for us. So here in chapter 5, actually 6 and 7, we'll see why Jesus is a better priest with a better sacrifice and a better covenant than the Jews had witnessed prior to our Lord appearing here. Jesus Christ didn't have to offer for himself because he was without sin. The Bible says he became sin who knew no sin. Don't say he became a sinner. Say he became sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ didn't have to offer for himself. But the Bible says that he was tempted in all points, like as we are. He went through all the temptations and everything that you and I are faced with and the struggles we're faced with. He went through all those things and he rose above it. He did it and got victory over them. And that's the kind of priest that I want for a high priest. Someone who's had the experience to know what I've been through and being able to get victory in it. A man that has a business, he don't look to another businessman who's gone under. He looks to a successful businessman, a man who's made a success, made maybe some mistakes, made a success. So, and when I'm faced with temptations and I'm faced with things, I want to look to a high priest that was successful and having the same temptations I had, yet he overcame them without sin. Tempted in all points, and that's the kind of high priest who understands what you and I go through. He had experienced the same temptations that we experience, and he conquered those temptations without sin, got the victory. Now, we talked about that businessman. That's the kind of people that you want to look to, people who have not fallen into the same sin, or the same people who have known the temptation but have successfully waged that war against sin and temptation. And at every encounter with sin, our Lord won at every encounter. He prevailed at every encounter that he had with sin. He got the victory. We want to find someone who has faced all those problems that we have, but did it without sin. Now, those Old Testament priests, they were sinners just like everyone else and required the same sacrifice. For every high priest, here we go, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men and things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sin. So, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sin. So, those Levitical priests had infirmities just like the folks did, like everyone else did. Now, Jesus Christ is the only one to show up on the earth without a sinful nature since the time that Adam was created. That's why Jesus Christ is referred to as the last Adam or the second Adam. Because from Adam to Jesus Christ, there was no one here on earth that had the image of God, that did not have that sinful nature. A fellow says, well, what about Mary? You'll hear that in this age. Well, what about Mary? Well, turn to Luke chapter 1 and we'll tell you about Mary. Of course, the Bible says the Lord said to Mary through the angel, said, blessed art thou among women, blessed woman, that God chose her for the lineage of Jesus Christ. But I want you to look at 1:46 when it comes to Mary and sin. In Luke 1:46, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, watch it, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Mary needed a Savior. Don't put your hopes on Mary. Mary needed a Savior, and she rejoiced in God for her Savior. God, my Savior. Now, look back at verse 2 and what it says about being a priest, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Now listen, whenever you go through some troubles in this life, it gives you a better understanding of others who have the same kind of trouble. When you experience something, then you're able to understand and identify with folks who are going through the same thing. I've had cancer twice. It's supposed to kill me both times. And I didn't know why I was having cancer. I really believe that a lot of it was God wanted me to know what it felt like when I have to deal with that. So many in the church that have had to deal with cancer. And God has to teach you how to deal with that. Paul said, I have learned. It don't come natural. You have to learn in whatever state you're in to be content. I had to learn to just give it to God and say, God, it's your body and whatever you do with it is okay with me. And I'm satisfied. Whatever you want to do, Lord, just glorify yourself and what you're going to do. And I'm okay with it. But having gone through all those emotional ups and downs and that roller coaster of life and death with the medical problems, by that I'm able to comfort others with the comfort wherewith I was comforted with. Sends you to the book and the scripture and to your Savior. 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The Bible says that our high priest, Jesus Christ, it says in Isaiah 53 that he was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He was spit on. He was scorned. He was scourged. He was ridiculed. And they crucified him. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, Jesus Christ is our high priest, and he went through all of that. He went through all of that. The Bible says, in all points, tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And because of that, he's able now to identify with you and identify with me. He became a man. He took on the form of a servant, took on flesh, became a man so he could identify with you. B.R. Lakin used to preach on this subject. He talked about earthly kings can never identify with their subjects. They're born of royal blood and can never identify with their subject. But Jesus Christ came in the form of a servant and took on the flesh of a man. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And now, because of his sufferings and what he did, he's able to identify with everything that we go through. That's a high priest. That's the kind of priest I need it. That is some who can identify. You know, I needed somebody who can identify with me. And where I've failed miserably at times when I've been tempted, Jesus Christ never failed. He's the one I need to look to because he got the victory. He never failed. And yet he knows and he understands what I went through and what I go through and what you go through every day. The Bible says he knoweth our frame and remembereth that we are dust. Boy, just think that the Lord understands you better than you understand yourself. Well, you just don't know what I've gone through. Well, the Lord knows what you've gone through. He knows what you're dealing with. He's been there. And because of that, I need to come boldly before that throne of grace. I might find help in the time of need because Dr. Phil can't help me when it comes to sin. Dr. Spock can't help me. Dr. Phil or Dr. Oz or Dr. Doolittle can't help me. It takes Jesus Christ, my high priest. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. When I'm faced with sin, I need to go to the one who was tempted the same way I was, But he got through that temptation without sin. Is that these? If you would unplug these monitors, please. I'm not sure what that is. Devil's called the prince of the power of the air. Never did trust electricity. All right. Who in the days of his flesh, Jesus Christ lived as a man just as you and I are living today. It says in Hebrews 5:7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard, and that he feared, though he were a son, capital S-O-N in your King James Bible, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. He learned some things. The Lord learned some things through suffering. What does tribulation worketh? The Bible says tribulation worketh what? Patience, right? Tribulation worketh patience. And what does patience work? Experience. Patience works experience. Now, you go through trouble, and it teaches you patience, that you might learn patience, and then with that trouble, you gain experience. And once you have experienced trouble, and if you've experienced this and you've experienced that, then you can identify with others who have been through the same thing. That's how our Lord identifies with us through what he suffered. Jesus can relate to us today. Because of his experiences, we have hope. Because he went all through all that trouble that I went through, and yet he didn't sin in it. He did it without sin. I've got someone I can talk to. I've got somebody I need to talk to. I've got a high priest. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience worketh experience. Experience worketh hope. My high priest, Jesus Christ, he went through it all without sin, so that gives me hope that I can go through it without sin. I've got that indwelling spirit that enables me to get the victory over sin. I don't know any man that's ever got that close to God to be able to do that. Some say D.L. Moody might have got close because we're all sinners. Where we've got that nature. But we have a high priest. And whenever I sin, we have an advocate. I have an advocate with the Father. Whenever I sin now, I can go say, forgive me, Father. In Jesus' name, I come to my Heavenly Father and says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My. Isn't that wonderful? It says, if we judge ourselves, we're not judged. I'm not waiting for the hammer to come down from God because I've already acknowledged it. I've already judged that what I did was sinful and wrong and I shouldn't have done it. I'm sorry that I did it and I thank you, Lord, for your precious blood. Thank you that you saved me from that sin. My high priest, Jesus Christ, he went through everything I went through without sin. So that gives me hope. His victory over sin made him a holy sacrifice. See, that's what makes Jesus Christ the perfect priest. He met my demand by going through all that I went through and is suffering for me in my place, also satisfied the demands of a holy God. He met my demand by me being able now to live through him, and he met the Father's demand because when he was there on the cross, he looked up and said, it is finished. And the Father, when he saw the travail of his soul, said, I'm satisfied. The big $10 word for that in the scripture is a propitiation. It means an appeasement of wrath. God's wrath is satisfied. That wrath that should have fell on me fell on the back of my Savior, Jesus Christ. My. Hebrews 2:18, for in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That means he just kind of wraps around and comforts you and lifts you up. Succor, that's a pretty neat word. He's able to do that. Why? Because He loved me. He's my high priest. And I can go to Him anytime. We as Christians, we need to understand today that we can go to Him with every problem we've got. Well, I just don't want to bother the Lord with all that little stuff. I do. How about your children? They come to you. They come to you, dads. Do you run them off? No, you want to hear from them. You want them to come to you. You want your children to come to you. No matter how big or how small that problem is. Why? Because Jesus Christ has the experience. He's been there. When your kids come to you with a question, it's probably some things that you've already been through. You went through it when you were a kid. You went through it here or you went through it there. And you're able to help that kid. And you're willing to help him because you love him. My, my. And your kids can come to you with all their problems. Not just some of them. You'll see these little kids, they get a little cut. They'll go running to mom or running to daddy. May not be a big deal, but it's a big deal to them. Hey, if you want to live a victorious Christian life, you need to hang out with people who have gotten the victory. If you've got a problem with alcohol, you don't need to go hanging out at the bar. That isn't the place to hang out. If you've got a problem with drugs, you don't go running with your old drug crowd because they haven't got the victory over it. Had a fellow tell me one time that he took that verse where Paul said, I became all things to all people that I might by all means win some. He thought that meant he could go to the bar and sit down and have a beer with somebody so he might win them to the Lord. And that isn't what that verse is talking about. That verse is talking about Paul eliminating anything out of his life that would be a stumbling block to the gospel. Everything he did for the gospel's sake. Things he may have had liberty between him and God with, he would refuse to do if it was a stumbling block to a brother, a weak brother. And he did that for the gospel's sake. That's why Christians should hang out with other Christians. If I've got a problem, I don't need to deal with somebody who's still got the problem and dealing with it. I need to deal with somebody who's gone past it. Is over it. I seek out someone who has overcome that temptation that I'm dealing with. I want someone who's been faced with the same problems I've got, overcame them. And any Christian who's overcome sin has done it only one way. And that's through their high priest, Jesus Christ. Paul said, to will is present with me. Oh, I want to do right. To will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Whenever you figure out that you can't be in charge, that whenever you figure out that as long as you are doing the performing, you're going to have a problem. God gave you your will to submit with, not to perform with. Oh, the will is present, but how to perform? Then quit performing. Start yielding and submitting. Submit to that high priest. Say, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you tonight, Lord. And precious Jesus, Lord, I'm dealing with this problem. And I'm weak, Lord. And I need your strength. And I need your victory. And I need you to help me with this. And He'll do it. But as long as we think we can deal with it in our own strength and the flesh, we're not going to get the victory. His strength is made perfect in weakness. The only way we get the victory is through the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. He identifies with us. He became our kinsman redeemer. There's a great lesson on that from the book of Ruth, where Boaz became the kinsman redeemer for Ruth. It says in Philippians 2:7, but made himself of no reputation and took up on him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Here in our text, verse in Hebrews, actually back in Hebrews 2:17, it says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Peter said this in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He cares about you tonight. He cares about you. You've got a priest. You've got a high priest without fault, without sin, holy, harmless, undefiled, sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he wants to hear from you tonight. He wants you to come to him with all your problems, with every care that you've got, casting all your care upon him. And I see that in Old Testament, one thing we deal with our Reformers Unanimous crowd, the fact of guilt. So many people wallowing in guilt. And whenever you hang on to that guilt and you don't take it to Jesus Christ, it's what you're saying, that what he did on the cross was just not enough to pay for what I did. Why would you accuse Christ of not paying for what you did? Because he did. And as long as you have that attitude, you'll just wallow in guilt. But he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Cast all your care upon him. You don't have to hang on to that guilt. Amen. Give it up. If I didn't learn that lesson, I'd never be preaching. I'd be wallowing in guilt for a past life of serving myself. But I've learned that I have a high priest. Holy. Eternal in the heavens, making intercession for me. And whatsoever I ask according to his will, he heareth me. That's what the scripture says. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that whatsoever we ask according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And he's not without strength and without power. We just don't go to him. You have not because you ask not. Man, we've got power. We don't access that power. God wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from you all the time. Pray without ceasing. Keep that attitude of prayer going throughout my day. I've got to have that back and forth with that Holy Spirit inside of me, back and forth with my Savior, because the Bible says that I'm to bring every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Christ. And the only way I'm going to do that is to walk in the Spirit. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. See, that's when we're able to do that. You can't just leave him out in the car when you go out and do something else. You can't leave him at home when you go to work. He's there ready, willing, and able. He's already offered the sacrifices that cover those sinful thoughts and those fleshy thoughts and those fleshy appetites. He paid for that sin. He understands where you're coming from. And he'll give you help if you will ask him. That's the kind of priest that we have. Now, those Old Testament priests could never do that. They couldn't relate to man because of their own sin. And they could never satisfy God for that very thing because of the sin that separated them from God. Those Old Testament blood of bulls and goats could have no wise cleared the guilty. Their sins were covered, but they'd never been paid for till Christ died on the cross. That's why those Old Testament saints couldn't go to heaven. They went to a place called paradise because their sin debt had not been paid. My. And that's why Jesus Christ is the great high priest of our profession. And he is able to do what no one else could ever do. Angels couldn't do it. Adam couldn't do it. The Aaronic priesthood couldn't do it. Those Old Testament priests were sinners, and Christ was not a sinner. He was tempted just like they were, but without sin. He was perfect before God, and God allowed him to bear the sacrifice for sinners without having to make a sacrifice for himself, because he did no sin. He could be the sacrifice that satisfied God, and yet he could make the sacrifice for me that would satisfy my sin debt. He's a mediator. that brings me to God. He brings me and God back together again. One place it's referred to as a daysman. I have not a daysman to stand betwixt us. A daysman is a person standing in the middle with his arm around two parties, and he brings them together. That's what Jesus Christ did by his perfect life and his perfect sacrifice. He brings me back to God. Be ye reconciled unto God. He's mediator that brings me back to God. He took care of the enmity. That was a sin which stood between me and God, and he restored my relationship to a holy God. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You've got a high priest tonight. If you'll just appreciate him, trust him, call on him. Call on him. If you've got sin in your life, go to him. Call on him. Confess that sin and then ask him for help. He'll help you because he's been there. He understands you. He's been there through everything you've gone through. He's been there. All the temptation. Hey, the sin isn't in the temptation. He was in all points tempted. The sin is in the yielding. And lust, when it conceives, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. It's yielding to that temptation. How do you keep from yielding to that temptation? You go to your high priest and say, Lord, I've got a problem with this. I'm tempted with this, Lord. I know you've been tempted with it. So, Lord, I need your help. I need your strength. I need your experience to help me. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ, you don't know what I'm talking about. See, because he becomes your high priest only when you trust in him. Whenever you trust in what he did in your place. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a mess. And Lord, I know I can't save myself, but I believe you are who you say you were. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you died for my sins, like the Bible said, and that you were buried and that you rose again. I believe all that, Lord. I'm asking you the best way I know how to have mercy on me, a sinner. That's called the sinner's prayer. Why would he refuse you coming to him the best way you know how? I'm done. One, stand up.